Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you, as always, by the AMP Radio Network. My name is Proteus. I will be with you here all night to do hashtag SmackMyPicksUp with you, as we do every week. Unfortunately, we have a lot of not very good cards this week. We are here to discuss UFC Russia, which is not great. And also there's a Bellator event this week, which is also not great. But we are going to stick, ladies and gentlemen, with the UFC card, of course, because the train keeps rolling. As DJ Tony and I were speaking about before we started, this train is getting a little long, man. Maybe we should have a little stop on the way here. Anyways, I digress. DJ Tony, this particular event that we're going to do, Smack My Picks Up, UFC Fight Night 163, Megabed Shuripov versus Qatar, UFC on ESPN Plus 21. Again, guys, these ESPN Plus cards are not for us. We're going to see them later on ESPN or whatever on ESPN Plus later, whenever you like to watch them. Lord Dana says that. Don't worry. Lord Dana endorsed. This will take place on November 9th, 2019 at the CSKA Arena in Moscow, Russia. I was thinking to myself, DJ Tony, thank God they just named it the CSKA Arena, because I'm sure it would have been harder to pronounce if had I had to do it in Russian. Anyways, so let's get to it tonight. The Fighting Four are actually here this evening. So DJ Tony, let's go ahead. And did I introduce myself? I'm Proteus, coming at you from the live and direct from the one true North, strong and free. That's right, Brantford, Ontario, the international studios. Let's get into this. Cammy from North Carolina.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Wow, that was a soft one. I don't know.
I was trying to be, like, creative, and then Cedric came creeping up on me. I'm like, it's his birthday today.
And happy birthday to Cedric, exactly.
He is 32 years old and, like, for real people use. Hi, bird.
Happy birthday, Cedric. Like I said before we went on the air, it's got to be all them pancakes that you make him and spoil him with, Pammy.
Mm-mm.
Gotta be.
I tell you, he lives on hate.
And Pam, I did not mention this in the rundown, but of course we will be doing Marco's favorite segment of the show, AMP Radio Rewind. Of course, you'll hear Marco get to say Rewind. And of course, UFC 224, Pammy, which was near and dear to your heart. We're going to cover that, but let's not get into it right now. Let's not discuss it. I saw that you had some chocolates on the Twitterverse today. You had a great day at an also. All right,
oh my God!
Day.
Yes.
You also
let me
got
tell you,
pumped up with chocolate.
Let me tell you something real quick, y'all. North Carolina weather, it's like bipolar. A few days ago, it was like 50 degrees. Yesterday, it was like 80 degrees. And then it's like the pressure fluctuates up and down. And when it does it, I get these like raging headaches. So I had a raging headache. My hair was all fucked up. I had no chocolate. And so yesterday was just a bad day. And I went to work. Good hair day. It was nice outside. No headache. And I had found, do y'all know what the Cadbury chocolates are? They come out only at Easter time, little Cadbury mini eggs.
You
don't know
it.
What those are? They make
mini
them,
egg. Cadbury mini eggs.
Fall
yep.
little chocolate balls. So I was happy.
Oh, nice.
So
anyway.
I was happy with balls in my mouth. Happy.
Oh, hey, that's what she said.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, I
did.
I got
lots of time for balls in mouth. I'm going to say, lots of time for that. All right, so let's move right along. Of course, DJ Tony, as I mentioned, there is a Bellator card this weekend, of course, from Thackerville, Oklahoma, yet again. But it's not, there's nothing to see there, right, DJ Tony? But let's go ahead and bring him in right now. It's Tony time, bitches.
Hey, DJ!
Happy birthday, Cedric, the one and only, the disruptor, the man who always has time to interrupt the show. Shout out to Cedric.
Right. He's eyeballing
me
right now.
I love how you called him the disruptor, like he was in Ghostbusters or something. I am the disruptor. Right?
He is.
I am the keymaster.
That's it. So let's go ahead and talk about this real quick, because I said it before through to you, Gigi Tony. The Bellator card is not great, I mean, right? Because you're the biggest Bellator fan, right? Like, it's not great this week.
It's not great, but it's the return, of course, of King Mo and, of course, Leslie Smith making her Bellator debut.
Ooh,
you know what, guys?
Swipe right.
There are way too many cards every single week, and there should be some sort of break. Because, you know, Proteus and I were talking about this. There's such a thing as having too many bad cards. But you know what? Someone's got to do it. So shout out to Bellator.
Yeah, exactly.
Yay.
You know what? Bellator's going to Bellator, like Marco likes to say. And speaking of Marco, let's go ahead and bring him in right now. Deep on the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco Roar. Das Bedania, comrades. So Cedric is Gosher, the Gosserian, the destroyer, the disruptor, the end of words. Yeah, Ghostbusters, whatever. Happy birthday, Bert. Be glad that you're a pet and not a soup.
Oh, he's too hateful for soup.
Ooh.
You're quite poisonous.
There is never too big of a there's never too big of a bear for to making a soup. Trust me on that.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and get into this one, DJ Tony. All right. So number five is the beat Magomed Sharipov. I mean, I think I get extra points for getting this right twice in one sitting. Against number 11, Kelvin Kattar. Marco, I mean, I think in my mind, this is kind of, you know, where we want to have the beat come out and shine. I think there was a bit of controversy a couple of weeks ago. Maybe you'll get into that when we talk about it. But let's go ahead and throw it to you. Of course, it should be known right now that this main event, ladies and gentlemen, on this card is a three-round main event because it was signed that way. That knowledge is straight from DJ Tony before we started the show. So, Marco, let's throw to you. You got the beat or you got Kelvin in this one. Kelvin with a C, yeah. Not a K.
Yeah. I am highly surprised that they, first of all, they did Qatar wrong because this fight was supposed to happen
right.
In Boston. And Savid, like, conveniently hurt his pinky, and he couldn't fight until Moscow. I'm like, oh, I feel better right about the time that we had to fight in Moscow. How convenient, Savid. How convenient. And you know, I'm going to make it a five-rounder. This is breaking precedent, man. I just for all those reasons, I know Savid is a favorite. I know Savid is a, you know, the top prospect and stuff. But I don't like the way they did Qatar, and this is an emotional pick. I'm going to pick Qatar by decision. I've seen some things that Savid did on his prior fights that give you a path for victory. And Kevin Qatar is not a punk. He's not like an average fighter. He's also a prospect, too. So this is a battle of good prospects. Conventional wisdom will tell you that Savid Magomed Sharipov should win in Moscow, you know, home field advantage. He's a longer ranger fighter. The guy is 6 foot tall and all the stuff. But I'm picking Qatar just because they can run by unanimous decision.
Yeah, okay, wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. I don't mind a pick that's, you know, centered directly in, you know, emotions. I'm okay with that. No worries. All right,
it's
Pammy.
It's Cater, by the way, gentlemen. Before we mess it up even more, it's Cater.
Thank you, John Innick. I appreciate that. Straight from the booth on the breakdown, Cater.
John
Innick Light.
John Innick Light.
Okay, we'll call him John Innick Light. That'll be his new name from now on. All right, John Anik-Lite, thank you very much for that one. Pammy,
yep.
We've got an OV versus Kater. I messed it up already. Damn it. Bring him back in. John Anik-Lite.
All righty.
Kater. My bad. All right, so Pammy.
No, everybody's on
what
the Abe Lincoln Zabit Muggle Alphabet of Train. 6 KOs, 7 subs, 4 decisions, wins. He does have one loss by a submission versus Kater. 9 KOs, 3 subs, and 8 decisions. He has one sub and one decision lost. You know, as tall as Magomed is, or as tall as he seems to be, he's 6'1 versus 5'11 with a 73-inch reach. Kater has a 72-inch reach. You know, I was looking back, you know, at stats and things like that. Kater, Ricardo Lamas, first-round TKO, Chris Fishgold, first-round TKO, Shane Burgo, TKO. And, again, you know how I like to look at the fight resume. Zabit actually went decision with – I keep saying I need to quit that. Jeremy Stevens, Kyle Bochniak, that was an amazing fight, went to decision. But I'm down with some Caterade, and I am picking in by a first-round TKO. Suck it.
All right.
How about that?
You're sucking indeed. Apparently, that's what she said as well. All right, DJ Tony, let's move swiftly
on
to you.
Right? With the chocolate balls.
Absolutely. They don't have to be chocolate. I mean, you can put them in your – anyways, let's move right along to the DJ himself.
Sweaty balls.
They're
going
to take the PG rating away from us, guys. Come on.
Hey, Derek Lewis is not
like
on this show right now, so let's stop talking about Derek Lewis, okay? Let's move right along to DJ Tony. All right, DJ Tony, you heard us at the top. Marco and I were talking about that Zabit had a mysterious injury. Do you think that, DJ Tony, that it's a ruse that he wanted to be in this home country of Russia, or do you think that maybe this injury comes along and hampers Zabit against Kater? Did I get that right?
You know what? I honestly thought he wanted the easier testing, and you're right. That's why he chose to go to USADA and get that easier testing, because we know that. We know that's a game time decision. That's for damn sure. But
for sure.
Listen, the one thing about this fight is, do you remember we used to think that Abraham Lincoln, Zabit.
Wow.
He does look like Abraham Lincoln. How many times have I tweeted that out?
Hairy one.
Does.
Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine Abraham Lincoln wasn't hairy.
Well,
who's Marco, you know this. Who's a sponsor we should have on the shaving? What is that thing called?
Yeah,
never mind.
Dollar Shave Club.
Come on,
Dollar Shave Club for men.
Yeah, my
no, Dollar Shave
go.
Club. You know what? By the way, this show isn't going to come out until Friday, so thank God. Listen, on this, honestly, because I won't have time to edit it. Listen, I had Abraham Lincoln all the way, dude. I literally had Abraham Lincoln all the way.
All right.
He beat Jeremy Stevens, beat Kyle Bochniak, but now, you know what? I think Kelvin Kater is going to pull this off, guys. I think there's a little bit of haterade or caterade going on here. You know what? And he's actually had 2 straight KOs. He KO'd Ricardo Lamas and Chris Fishgold. First round KO. So I'm going with Kelvin Kater. You know what? Let's keep it in early in the third. Kelvin Kater, third round, TKO.
All right. Well, Tony, I was kind of trying to throw to you to maybe start a little bit more conversation about, I mean, yeah, maybe where there was a USADA swerve there, or maybe, you know, Zabit was trying to get into his home country. Or maybe they just, the UFC thought that, you know, it would behoove them to move Zabit into this position. I think if there was an injury, and if there is an injury, that may come into light here, or it may come into play. Marco, like you said, Cater is no joke. He will come over there and fucking take your head off. Yeah, it was supposed to be a couple of weeks ago. He was supposed to fight in his hometown or his home area of Boston, Massachusetts, which probably would have, you know, behooved him to fight there. And, you know, maybe it would have felt a little bit better to fight on home soil. But he's now got a grudge to enact right here, just like Beast in 24-8. Or whatever his name is. I can't keep up anymore. His name changes all the time. Thank you. We'll get to that in a little bit. Overtime. I think that maybe Zabit is injured in this one, guys. I think that maybe it's going to show through here. Yes, he has a bit of a height advantage, which is, again, coming into the one-inch reach advantage. Pammy, as you mentioned, for Zabit. But I think Cater gets this one done, guys. If there's an injury here, which I do think there is, I think it's going to come to light. I think with it, that's a clean sweep for Cater on this one. I'm also going to take him, Tony, by third round TKO. You know what? Just so to mix it up, I'm going to take the second round so that maybe I'll get an extra point on that one by TKO. But I think perhaps, DJ Tony, there is some kind of truth to an injury from Zabit, and maybe they come back a little bit too soon because – as we have mentioned previous times on this show, the UFC is spreading themselves a little bit thin. All right, guys, let's go ahead and move to – yes, sir.
We run the gauntlet on Cater. Pam picks the first round KO. You pick up the second round KO. Tony pick up the third round KO. And I pick up the decision. That's the gauntlet.
Absolutely.
Right there.
Absolutely. We've covered it.
we've covered it
everything.
Except for the beat getting the win.
Right. But nobody thinks that that's going to happen. And again, Zabit is a very talented fighter, and we've seen him in the past really, you know, prove us wrong sometimes. I mean, he's proved me wrong a number of times, but I think there's some truth to this, and maybe Zabit's coming into this one a little bit injured. But, I mean, it'll all come out in the mail in the end. All right, guys, so let's go ahead and move on to the co-main event. DJ Tony, cue that music. All right, guys, to the heavyweight division we go, and it pains me, ladies and gentlemen, to even say this particular fight right now because somebody's getting the chance at something that I don't think they should get to, but anyways, we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's throw right to it, though. We have number 7, Alexander Volkov, against unranked. Just fought a couple of weeks ago and looked terrible, Greg Hardy. But of course, as you know, we needed to fill a hole here because Junior DeSantos had a big hole in his leg, I believe, right, Marco?
Cellulitis. Cellulitis, yeah.
Yeah. So we needed to get a quick replacement. Of course, Greg Hardy at first got the win, and of course that win was swiftly taken away from him for the asthma inhaler. So, Pam, let's throw to you here in the co-main event. Who do you got? You got Alexander Volkov, who's got clearly a number of professional fights more than Greg Hardy, or do you have Alexander Volkov getting caught by Greg Hardy in some weird way?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, I tried looking, you know how I'm like kind of like anal retentive about looking at my stats and stuff like that. I'm like OCD about that stuff, but I can't really find any information about him. You find plenty of football stuff, but I can't really find that much really good information. Alexander Volkov, he's a black belt in, I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, Su Shinjin, which is a type of karate. Brown belt in another karate. Brown belt in jiu-jitsu. He's a kickboxer. And I think Greg Hardy is just basically just a brawler. I mean, you can tell by his domestic abuse record that he's a brawler.
Oh.
He likes to, you know, thump. And again, I like to look at stats and who people have fought. Volkov, Fabricio Verdum, Stefan Struve, Roy Nelson, you know, old time Roy, yeah. Roy Nelson, but Chet Congo, his resume is just a little bit more impressive than Greg Hardy. And I think this is going to be, I've said this before, I think it's going to be like two of those big Kodiak bears fighting over salmon. Alexander Volkov gets it done in a third round by a TKO. No inhaler involved.
Okay, hang on 1 second. You said Volkov by third round
TKO? Third round TKO, please. Yep.
Okay, third round TKO. And Tony, if we could 3-2-1 and isolate this, if we could isolate this audio, I'd give you the odds of the both fights here. First of all, I'll give you the odds of the Zabit versus Qatar fight. 1, 2, 3. Zabit coming at us at a -300 and Qatar coming back at us at a +250.
Wow.
Greg Hardy coming at us at a +210. Alexander Volkov right now at a -250. Marco, let's throw to you.
Did you say -250?
Sammy, I did say a -250. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Marco, let's throw to you and then we'll go to DJ Tony. Look, in my opinion, I don't know what you have to think about this, but like Pam just said, there's a bit of a difference in this the fight resume. And are they throwing Greg Hardy to the wolves? Are they giving up on him? Like, what are your thoughts? The UFC is that, not me.
Okay, I'm going to try to be fair to the guy because he raised his right hand and took this fight. So.
Sure, absolutely. In enemy territory, right, Marco?
Yeah, he didn't have to take this fight. He's surrounded by very smart people out there on ATT. They might see something we have not seen. I mean, to be fair, besides the inhaler gate, he did look pretty good on his last fight. He looked quick. He looked more disciplined with his striking. And the guy is a physical specimen. He's super fast for his body. The guy has to go to 265, and he's extremely quick and explosive. I'm going to give Hardy a chance. He's a three-rounder. I did not like the way Volkov got freaking annihilated by Derek Lewis on his last fight, you know. That tells me that somebody with power can touch him and floor him. And Greg Hardy, like I said, he's quick and he got power in his hands. Everybody's going to predicate on the first round. If he doesn't get Volkov out of the first round, he's going to lose a decision. But I'm going to think Hardy's going to find a chin, just by sheer power alone, because the guy, we know he's a beast. He's just a powerful individual. He's going to be able to TKO Volkov in an upset. The odds are close. The odds are really, really close. I mean,
yeah, I know.
In any other planet, Hardy should not be anywhere near a 2-1 underdog. He should be like a 10-1 underdog. So that tells you that even the odds maker are seeing him having a chance, because that first round is a critical round. If he was a five rounder, forget it. Volkov would just get on his back and to try to do what he tried to do to Derek Lewis before he got caught with 10 seconds left. But because it's a short fight, and because Hardy knows that his best chances of the first round, he's going to throw Couch to the wind, catch Volkov with something really powerful, and get a TKO on the first round. So give me Hardy on the first round with a TKO.
All right. DJ Tony, you heard both sides there. What do you got?
Yeah, I just don't see it, you guys. I mean, the one thing about Greg Hardy is he's been put in positions to sort of excel, and he's been fighting guys. I mean, they've been building him up, right? And listen, I don't like what he did, anything where it involved beating up a woman or beating up anyone. I'm just not into. But Volkov is a damn good fighter, guys. I think we're forgetting his days of Bellator. Maybe not the same sort of competition, but certainly competition that's more.
Well, he's a champion in Bellator, right? I mean, we can't really forget that.
Right. And he's like 6'7 or 6'5. I mean, he's a big guy.
6'7.
I'm thinking Volkov, guys. I think after the first, I think it's going to be done. I think Volkov finishes him just due to pure exhaustion on Greg Hardy's part. I'm taking Volkov TKO in the third.
Okay. So DJ Tony agreeing with Pam on this one. Third round TKO. Marco, of course, taking Hardy by first round KO. And Marco, I think that we have to agree that that is Greg Hardy's only chance at beating Volkov. I don't think that he's,
I've noticed if he gets past the first round, Volkov is going to just outpoint the champion.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But
I'm just saying that Greg Hardy is no Derek Lewis, and he's not going to pull a knockout out of his ass. I was agreeing with you. I was agreeing with what you're saying.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. Hardy isn't going to pull a third round TKO or KO out of his ass. I doubt it. Especially as I said with Inhaler Gate from a couple of weeks ago. Look, I don't think this is going to be anywhere close, guys. I think, yeah, Greg Hardy, even if he loses in this fight, he protects his being paid by the UFC. He's not an employee, but they definitely will stay in the Greg Hardy business because he did throw his hand or his hat into the ring here on this particular fight.
He did them a solid.
Yeah, he's being a company man, man. They've shown him plenty of love, like we've mentioned on this show plenty of times, and he's done them a solid back. He's going to get his ass kicked. He's going to really take a beating in this one, Marco, I think. Go ahead.
Now, like Rosenstruck, who just beat Arlovski on the last weekend, he took the Alistair Overeem fight next month in Washington, D.C. So he's going to be a company man, too. You know, he's going to be one of those guys that they can rely on, too.
Absolutely. But Greg Hardy, he didn't have a really tough fight in that particular fight that he had a couple of weeks ago, right? I mean, he has fought tomato cans up to this point. He has picked people like you mentioned, Marco. I think Volkov is on another. There are levels to this shit, guys. There's levels to the shit, like Marco likes to say. Volkov gets this one done. I think he gets it done in the second round. DJ Tony, I think he's going to get it done by TKO. I just don't think that Hardy stands a chance in this fight, guys. I just don't. I think it levels. There's levels. All right, guys. I can't imagine that any of you have picked up a spotlight fight of the night on this one. I'm going to say shout out to Ed Herman, who is on this card as well, traveling to Russia. Go ahead, Pammy, give us a spotlight fight of the night. Just for shits and giggles.
I did Magomed Ankalaev and Dolce Lungiambula.
God bless you.
I don't believe you.
Really? Seriously?
I don't.
Did you pick that too?
I don't even mention those names.
Did you pick that too?
No, I don't believe that you picked that fight at all.
I did. I've got Magomed is 11
in the 170-pound division. And you know what we didn't have to do? We didn't have to call it an interim title. Genius work on the part of the UFC. Where do we go with the BMF title next, guys? Do we go Jorge Masvidal either, you know, fights the champion or he fights Conor McGregor next and continues to be the BMF title champ? Anyways, I digress. We'll get into that a little bit later, but that's just some thoughts that I had off the top. But let's get into it right off the top. The main event, of course, was for the BMF title. The Rock was there. He was giving out titles, and Dana White was sitting back on the sidelines with the President of the United States of America. I'm not American, but do you think the title President has got a little bit worn down now that Donald Trump is around? Like, he shows up at fucking the UFC and you go, all right, so what? He went to a fight. Big deal. I don't think that's presidential thing anyway at all.
No, that is a big deal.
Dana White does. We'll get into it in a second. Let's not talk about it right now. I'm giving you guys things to talk about when we get into it. Marco, let's start with you in the main event. Of course, Jorge Masvidal takes this one down due to due to doctor's stoppage at the end and the beginning of the fourth round. Nathan Diaz had a number of cuts on the the right side of his face, one on top of his eye and one on the bottom. Marco, talk about what you thought about Jorge Masvidal in this fight, man. I mean, did you see it the same way I did, that perhaps we saw a changing of the guard on this one? What you got, Marco?
That was an ass whipping, dude, from top to bottom. For those three rounds we saw, there was I got 2 10-8s and 1 10-8 round there, and it was just a beatdown. I mean, Diaz got his moments, but not really. He was not going to come back on the fourth and the fifth. All those people that believe that Diaz was going to make a comeback, no, he was not. He was going to get kicking his ass kick. And I had ideas, but I picked the guy to win. On the card, for all those people that are thinking, making, like, oh, there was a bad call from the doctor, that doctor is a freaking board-certified neurologist with a private practice in freaking Manhattan, New York. The guy doesn't have to be a freaking, he's not a chiropractor for the fucking local mall. I will take the word of a doctor from any other freaking armchair freaking surgeons that are freaking talking the asses off, that never accomplished anything on their lives. At the moment I was disappointed. I wanted the fight to continue. But then I saw the freaking photos of the eye, who bad the freaking cut was. The after the fight, like, yeah, no. Then it was the right call, man. If you care about Nate Diaz, if you care about his the future well-being of his eye, you stop the fight. Nate Diaz is what Nate Diaz is. He's tough as hell, because the first combination that Masvidal kicked him with, that elbow punch kick combination, would have knocked out anybody else on the planet except for Nate Diaz. So kudos for Nate Diaz for showing his toughness. Yeah, the BMF title is a made-up title, so let's not freaking make believe that this is going to be defended. It was a one and done. And Masvidal won it. You know, he can say that he's the one and only BMF title holder ever. What is there for Masvidal? He can wait for the winner of Covington Usman. Covington is the obvious freaking fight for him because of the Grosch match. You know, they've been talking much about each other, you know, former friends, now bitter rivals on ATT. That Conor talk, let's not talk about Conor. Conor will never take that fight because, you know, he will get destroyed by Masvidal. And any other fight doesn't really make sense. I mean, this guy's a money fighter now. His popularity has skyrocketed like almost overnight. He went from 100,000 freaking Instagram freaking followers to 1.5 million in less than a week. So, yeah. On the president being on the event, it is significant, man. Because president goes to big events, Super Bowls, World Series. It basically gets the stamp of approval. We're finally mainstream, you know. I do not like Trump. I'm not a Trump supporter. I never will be. I am Democrat blue to the freaking core of my soul. But I can admit that it was a big moment. The fact that freaking DAZN, with the biggest freaking boxer name in the planet, Canelo Alvarez, had to wait 90 minutes. And the MGM Grand was showing the Nate Diaz, freaking Jorge Masvidal, main event of their screens, while their main eventers were waiting for them to finish fighting before they make the walk. Tells you all you need to know how big this event was. There's some freaking Golden Boy and MGM Grand, they all bend the knee to the UFC because this event was huge. And it is what it is, man. And let's recognize the fact that, yeah, Trump being there is something. It is something, whether you like the motherfucker or not. It signifies that in the future we can see precedents on big events like this. I love the BMS title, the whole concept, but the fight was one-sided. Masvidal was the clear winner. And for all the people that say Diaz will make a comeback, they're delusional. And the controversy about the card, not really that big of a controversy. Yeah, maybe in other states like Nevada, they're going to let it continue, because it wasn't flowing blood all over the eye. But that, when you see the pictures of how deep that cut was on the top, that if you keep hitting that, you can cause permanent damage in there, you know, that muscle tissue. So the doctor's responsibility is not to let this fight continue or to let this BMS title be decided by somebody for their chill. He's trying to look out for the safety of the fighter. And remember, board-certified neurologist, there is a borderline genius up there making the decision. And it's not like it's a guy that hasn't done boxing events and freaking MMA events before. He's been on the freaking ABC certified freaking physician for years now. It's not his first rodeo. So enough of that trying to besmirch his name and his business. That's all I have to say about that.
Pam, I'm not going to get in the way of this conversation. What do you got?
You know me. Win or lose, I am always going to be a Nate Diaz fan. I do think, in my opinion, that the stoppage was a little bit premature. I was thinking if it had gone into the fourth round and it would have opened up some more, all right, then stop it then. But to me, and I just felt like Nate started to get his timing down like late in the third round. So, you know, who knows, you know, but could have, would have, should have, whatever. Nate, you know, still my guy. I wish they would do a rematch only because it's just, I don't know, Dr. Stoppage doesn't have like it's like unfinished sex. You're just kind of like, is that it? You know, well, it happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm wondering, though, truthfully, I'm wondering if the pay-per-view numbers come back really insane, if it's something that, hey, well, wait a minute, this wasn't such a bad idea after all. But, I mean, I think it should be just a title between Nate and Jorge, not, okay, who's next. I think that should be just between the two of them. I think you had, even though Nate lost, I think you had some positives in there. The first one being, you know, this title was made because of him, because he called out this fight. Number two, you know, took on USADA and won. Number three, you headlined a pay-per-view on a non-sanctioned title fight. You know, come on. And that's insane, you know. You know, number four, one of the biggest boxing events was waiting for you to finish so they could continue. So even though he lost, I think there's a lot of positive things that came because of this fight and because of him. And if you saw any of the press events afterwards, he seemed to be in good spirits. I mean, he was joking and laughing and, you know, cutting up the way that he normally does not. So it was good to see
who's
him
he,
that
Nate
way.
Diaz?
Yeah, Nate.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, he was actually being kind of funny. But all in all, the whole card, man, what a great effing card. From top to bottom, great card. I loved it. Loved every minute of it.
All right, Tony, before we bring you in, let me go ahead and give the results here because I forgot to do that at the top. It was a terrible week for all of us. The only point that was scored on this particular fight card was me choosing Lewis, and, of course, that's the only point I got there because I chose him by decision. But DJ Tony, you've heard what the two voices have said. I mean, do you disagree with anything that they've said here so far? I mean, the storylines coming out is, should they rematch? You know, the controversy about the cuts. And, of course, I know what you're going to say here, but, Tony, the floor is yours.
Well, first thing I will say is if we took every doctor's word for whether or not they're board certified, whether the greatest doctor on
right.
the face of the earth, that's why we have malpractice suits. So, I'm not saying what the doctor did was wrong. What I'm saying is just because someone is licensed doesn't mean that they're right. I mean, only the doctor knows. I wasn't in the octagon, but let's be realistic about this. What I would have done if I'm the doctor, and clearly I'm not a doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn, I would have done, you know what, if you guys have ever watched the movie Rocky, there's this line where the ref goes, hey, or the doctor, one of them goes, hey, one more round of this, and I'm stopping it. And he goes, you ain't going to stop nothing. Same thing here. They would have said, hey, listen, Nate, I would have done, if this keeps it up, you know, we're going to stop it in next round for sure, if not in the middle of the round, et cetera.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would have changed.
Hey, Tony,
I had all three rounds.
I was going to agree with Tony that that is probably the most sensible thing the doctor could have done. at, like in the second round, go out there and tell him, hey, if this continue, I'm going to stop it. That is where Tony's absolutely right. I was going to give you kudos, dude.
So let's talk about it rationally. When I talked to DJ Tony, when I watched the fight, Tony, and you can attest to this, I was like, oh man, that's a, and Pam, I said the same thing to you. It was a terrible stoppage. Now listen, You have to give Jorge Masvidal the credit that he is due, because in the first two rounds he looked incredible. And like you guys have all said, Jorge Masvidal, if he wasn't fighting the guy like Nate Diaz, a seasoned pro, DJ Tony, like Nate Diaz, when he got hurt to the body, went to the ground, recovered for a minute, and got back up, that's a pro move, okay? But he did look, in my opinion, DJ Tony, Nate Diaz looked like he was old school and didn't have an answer for Jorge. But in the third round, guys, let's be honest, There was no serious attacks to those cuts from Jorge Masvidal. The cut was definitely put on hold. It wasn't leaking at all. The only cut that was bleeding was the bottom cut. Okay, so what I said to DJ Tony originally when I watched the fight, and you can attest to this, DJ Tony, whenever you want, is I said in any other area or any other jurisdiction, this fight, as you said, Marco, would have been let to go on a little bit longer, and you go to the ref and you say, hey, you know what, if he takes more damage to that cut, obviously there was a reason why the doctor was called in, because they were concerned about the cut in the first place. So you say to the ref, if he takes any more damage, even if it's a small amount of damage, you call the fight. But as DJ Tony said to me, he talked me off the ledge. He said, you know what? It's up to the doctor's discretion. And, of course, we want to save the fighters from themselves. And as you said, DJ Tony, that if we allowed that to continue, maybe Nate Diaz, you know, takes some damage that we don't want to see, like Michael Bisping kind of damage to his eye. And we don't want to see that kind of stuff. I think this gimmick kind of thing was interesting from the UFC. You guys were excited about it. The casual fans were excited about it. I just think the BMF title gets lost in the 175-pound division right now, guys. I think if we would have seen two more rounds, I think we would have seen a little bit more production from Nate Diaz. We would have seen a little bit more of a different fight. But kudos to Jorge Masvidal. Great win by him. And like you said, Marco, he is benefiting from not only the three-piece in a soda when we started talking about him when he beat Darren Till. And let's remember, three-piece in a soda was not anything to do with Darren Till. He had a great knockout of Darren Till that night, but also the three-piece in a soda was from Leon Edwards. Great year for Jorge Masvidal. We cannot detest that. Let's move on to the co-main event because we are swiftly running out of time. No, sorry, Marco, we got to move on. Let's move on to the co-main event. Of course, there's a lot of stuff to talk about here. Of course, Darren Till, as we mentioned at the end of last week's show, was not in the United States of America, did end up showing up. I mean, that stress has got to be something serious. As we heard from Dana White after the event, the UFC really had to jump through a lot of hoops to get Darren Till into the country. Like I said, you know, stealing that taxi, you don't want to do that, guys. Against Kevin, don't call me Kevin, call me Kelvin with a K, Gastelum. Dude, close fight. DJ Tony, let's start with you since everyone wanted to interrupt you in the last fight. We had Kelvin's elbow gate, of course, leading into the weigh-ins. Again, Kelvin Gastelum bumping up against, you know, weight restrictions. And, of course, he's moved up to 185 pounds. Tony, thoughts?
With all the drama that was going on with Darren Till, you know, and him showing fear, i.e. GSP, I was actually really shocked by that. But you got to give Darren Till credit, man. He made it happen in under duress. So you got to give him credit for that.
Oh, absolutely. But what did you think about Kelvin Gastelum, again, with running up against the weight issues and, of course, leaning on his coach, perhaps? You know, what did you think about that, brother?
Well, can someone explain to me this, Marco, maybe you or Pam? They were using the hoop until that point. What happened to the hoop?
Yeah, I mean, I think the hoop is the way to go, right?
I don't know, man. Well, they just hit that one.
I think everyone saw, right? Everyone saw the elbow gate. I saw it. I mean, I don't.
What happens with the commission here? Like, why doesn't the commission say, listen, you fucking cheated here. We can see clearly see your elbow.
Because it's a co-main
event.
Kind
of sort of after, it's after the fact and, they got one done. It happened in New York, too, with freaking Daniel Cormier with Tamilgate. So, New York.
No,
Tamilgate,
he's right.
It was the same place.
There always seems
that's
to be some kind
you,
of controversy in New York.
That's what I said. Remember, DJ Tony, I said that to you. I sent you
always.
A text message saying, New York strikes again. Not
well,
only did
you know,
we have
you know
the
what
elbow
you
gate.
Need to do? Go ahead.
I said, not only did we have the elbow gate, but we had the stoppage, right, with Kelvin Gastelum or with Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz. I mean, New York always seems to be in the news with some kind of, you know, they
bullshit.
Don't want to let somebody fight because they have fake boobs in, right, DJ
Tony? Oh,
that's
Tony? Right. That's right. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, New York strikes again 100%. Who wants
New
to go
York
next year?
Fake boobs.
Yeah, New York needs to borrow freaking commissioners from New Jersey because those guys are awesome. New Jersey never gets these controversies, and they're right next door. Like, they need to borrow sort of the commissioners and sort of their rules and shit. But, you know, Kelvin Gastelum, after the war he got with freaking Adesanya, I don't think he's going to be the same for a while, man. I mean, that fight wasn't that long ago. And he took a beating on that fight. He looked gun-shy to me on this fight. I mean, historically speaking,
he had his
he
leg
never,
eaten up, though, right, Marco?
Yeah, but historically speaking, he never had issues with bigger guys at the middleweight division. And Darren Till is a freaking welterweight moving to middleweight. By the way, he still looks humongous.
Huge.
Good for him to actually make him weight with all the stuff that was going on with him and fighting the way he did. He looked good. I mean, he didn't look like a war beater by any stretch of the imagination. He did what he needed to do to win. And, whoever was that freaking George that gave Kelvin Gastelum 30-27, he should be fired because at the most, I would have given Kelvin Gastelum 29-28. You want to, like, stretch the truth there, you know? But I saw Till won the fight, Federal Square. Good for Darren Till. Let's see what they give him next. He's not ready for title contention. I think he needs two more fights at middleweight. Kelvin Gastelum is a good scalp on his freaking on his belt. And Kelvin just needs to freaking regroup, man. And stop eating all those tacos and stop leaning on your freaking coach and freaking make freaking weight. We're not going to send you to 205, dude. You're too little for 205. You're just dying for that alone.
Ouch.
All right, DJ Tony, let's go to throw to you because you didn't really comment on the fight at all. I didn't give you the opportunity to. We saw the battle of the leg kicks here is basically what it was, in my opinion, DJ Tony. But let's throw it to you. What you got?
Which fight are we on? Are we still on the Kelvin?
Kelvin.
Gaston
yeah,
fight?
No, we're on Kelvin versus Till. Yeah, we're still on Kelvin versus Till. We didn't actually get to the fight with you. We were talking about all the pre stuff. What did you think about the fight, though? Did you see it going towards Kelvin Gastelum, or did you have it 100% for Till, like Marco was saying?
Oh, no, I think Marco's right. I think they had it, you know, going 100%. I think most of those fights, even including, not to go back to the Masvidal-Diaz, but Masvidal, to my opinion, had taken all three rounds. Darren Till took all three rounds. The judging, I mean, we talk about the New York State Athletic Commission. Marco's right. I mean, why not just do this in Jersey? We continue to have this New York thing.
Absolutely.
And it's just they're clearly not ready for prime time. So – I mean, the whole thing was a debacle, in my opinion.
All right, Pammy. So, like DJ Tony just mentioned, I said this to him originally when I watched the fight at first, the Jorge versus Nate fight. Like, if the stoppage would have happened anywhere else, I don't think the stoppage would have happened most other places. And again, let's get back to the Kelvin Gastelum versus Darren Till fight, though, because it seemed like a very, like DJ Tony said, they maybe they were both very tentative. But again, I want to throw back to it was a battle of the leg kicks. What did you see? Did you see it the same way I did, or did you see something completely different?
For whatever reason, it seemed to me, because I thought this was really going to be like this crazy brawl, especially with Kelvin's boxing. I mean, I really thought that it was going to be a totally different outcome. He seemed very tentative, like he was waiting. He seemed very on the offense instead of or maybe on the defense. He was, I don't know, it was just like weird. It was like a weird vibe, this whole fight.
Yeah.
I don't know where he goes, because he's too little, but at the same time, you're too little, but then you can't make weight. I'm confused a little bit, you know? And
got
I think
too many tacos,
Darren
like Mark was
Till
said.
Is too big to be fighting in that division, you know? It looked like two guys from two different divisions, so I don't know, but I don't agree that whoever gave him one round, 30 to, what, 27?
Yeah, he was not right, yeah.
It was weird, and I do think, I think that MMA is still very new to them.
Exactly.
Or maybe it's not that big of a deal to them that they want to just have mediocre people, mediocre judges, mediocre doctors, mediocre everything, just to, you know,
ouch,
kind of, yeah, okay. Do you know what I'm saying?
I also think,
but,
Pammy,
because
I also
there always
think
seems
that
to be controversy.
Sorry.
You know,
I just think that you
to
also,
be
if
something
you're,
going
if,
on.
I think if you're also in the number one media market in the world, everybody's looking at you, and if you happen to slip up and you let Nate Diaz lose his eye, you know, you have a problem. But I think also, you know, we're going to have, judging problems no matter what. I thought Darren Till squeaked out this win. I think, as I mentioned, guys, it was the battle of the leg kicks. I think early on, Darren Till was able to hurt Kelvin Gastelum very, very much. And then he made Kelvin walk around for like three rounds on that injured leg. But what was good about Kelvin is that he handed it back to Darren Till, and I think that impeded Darren Till from really getting off as well, because Darren Till's leg, his lead leg, was also injured. You got to be, if you look at the bruising on both guys' legs, both guys were able to get some serious leg kicks in. Great job by both guys. I'm just going to give a shout out quickly to Stephen Thompson for a great win against Vicente Luque. Mark, or DJ Tony, that was your spotlight fight of the night. Unfortunately, you lost that one. But we got to wrap this show up, guys, because we only have 5 minutes left, and I want to be able to get to everyone, Twitter follow of the week, or if you've got a guilty pleasure. Tony, do you have a quick point? You want to throw something in quickly?
Quick point on this, and Marco, you might be able to fill me in with this one, or Pam. I'm pretty sure that the two boxers that died recently, I'm pretty sure both of those fought at the Madison Square Garden. So that might be a thing too.
Did they?
Interesting.
Yeah, I did not know that either. I don't follow boxing, but I had seen that there had been a couple of deaths. So again, I mean, New York's not coming through with shining colors right now, are they, DJ Tony?
Well, I think
you're
going to be a little bit more careful.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely going to be. Like I said, biggest media market in the world. Pammy, what do you got to say?
Yeah, I just have a quick. Does anybody know what the payouts were? A fight of the night?
Yeah.
All that stuff. Does anybody know that?
Yeah, Jorge ended up winning $50,000 apparently for the fight. The KO the bonuses, Marco, go ahead.
Fight of the night was Thompson and freaking Luque, and
nice.
The performer of the night was Cody Anderson and Kevin Lee.
Okay.
Perfect.
We
didn't even mention Kevin Lee. I mean, I thought we would in this particular breakdown. Kevin Lee, you moved to a great camp. It was great to see him actually look really good. And of course, Marco, we know that Kevin Lee is a great fighter. Gregor Gillespie moving up. You know, a surging fighter got stopped by Kevin Lee, and Kevin Lee threw that combination first in the sorry.
He decapitated Gillespie. That was vicious.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good win for Kevin Lee. But I have to digress because we only have 3 minutes left in the show. All right, Pammy, let's throw to you. Do you have a Twitter follow of the week, or do you have a guilty pleasure of the week this week? A great show, guys. I mean, as always, we're passionate MMA fans. So, Pammy, what you got?
Well, it's kind of really not fight related, but it kind of is because I am interested in the fights. But lately, what I've been really involved in is my bird rescue, and I'm actually taking a bird capturing class this weekend. So, yay birds! My emu, I'm in love with my emu.
Did I see that you captured a bird? You saved a bird just recently, like within the past couple of days?
Yeah, I did. Actually, Monday I did 2 bird rescues.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, Pam, you're doing God's work. DJ Tony, let's throw to you. Do you got a spotlight? Do you have a guilty pleasure of the week, or do you have a Twitter follow?
Damn right. Scrap Pack's own Leslie Smith making her debut at Bellator. So shout out to Leslie Smith I don't know what her Twitter feed is.
Leslie Smith.
Leslie Smith GF, girl fighter. Leslie Smith GF, at Leslie Smith GF.
Swipe right.
And of course, we all like Leslie Smith. You know, she's was the one fighter that wanted to stick up for herself, going against the UFC. So kudos to her, and I hope I wish her the best of luck over there in Bellator. Listen, I'm going to give my shout-out again to Nova Cub. We mentioned them, I think, last week or maybe the week before. They're a small band, trying to get things together. I thought their LP was very good. As I mentioned the other week, Strike, being my Proteus Shower pick. But they are also thinking about putting out some vinyl. Pay attention to their Instagram account because this pink vinyl looks really nice, man. I'm picking one up as soon as it comes out. So Nova Cub on the Instagram. Marco, yeah, man, it's going to be like
a
7-inch. I'm very excited. I'm very excited about it. Okay, Marco, go ahead and get us out of here for this week, brother. You got a guilty pleasure of the week. I mean, Disney Plus is coming up. You got to be excited about that because all the Marvel movies are going to be out, but I digress. What you got, brother?
We'll talk about that next week on Disney Plus. But shout out to the Luke Thomas Show, man, one of the nicest MMA shows on SiriusXM. Luke Thomas, you can hear Jimmy Smith there coasting at times. Also,
I love Clifford, him.
RJ Clifford, too. The Luke Thomas Show, if you want to get your MMA news with a guy that is super smart and give you, like, honest, very well thought out opinion, check out the Luke Thomas Show, so see the Sirius XM Nation. Follow Tony, DJ Tony. Follow me, Amaldo Marco. Follow Pana Pandora Box. Follow producer at Produce. Follow the show, another MMA cast. Better review us. We're on Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Spotify. Fast in Moscow this weekend. That's Bedania, Mopos. We're going to need you guys. Catch you guys this weekend. You're the fights.
Yeah, and we'll see you next week because the train keeps rolling on next week. And just like that, Pammy,
we're out of here. Bye, y'all.
Damn it, I wasn't ready for the drop. Darn it.
We won't hold it against
you. I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. Who the fuck is that guy?